good to be here this morning, and I appreciate Dr. Mitchell throwing me under the bus there, having just the girls sing, and I couldn't hear him, and so Mr. Armacost saved me, but thank you for that. I was waiting for Mr. Armacost to read the demerit list. I didn't get to hear that, and I still have dreams of my name being called. It was never called, that's why they're dreams, but there is still that. That won't go away from you, college students. You'll always think about those things. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter number 13 this morning. It is an honor to be here and preach in chapel this morning, and a good crowd this morning, and a beautiful chapel the Lord has given you. And thank the Lord for these days in your life, and don't dismiss them. Don't just wish them away. Take advantage of what God has given you here and the blessings of being able to be in a college and an academy where the Lord is magnified, and He's brought glory and praise, and not man, and not self. And there's so many places today that glorify man and the preacher instead of the message. And thank the Lord for what God has given you here. And you're living in exciting days. And some of you may be getting ready to graduate. Who's getting ready to graduate seniors in the college? And you're living in exciting days. Never before has this world needed men and women to go out and reach people with the gospel. And don't be scared. Don't be frightened. Lean upon the Lord. But we're living in exciting days when we can serve God and really make an impact like never before for the Lord. Look at me in your Bibles in 1 Kings chapter number 13. We're going to read several verses here, verses 1 through 19 for our text. It's more lengthy than I usually would read for a text, but I want us to get the understanding of the passage. And you'll recognize there's a couple different stories you'll recognize in 1 Kings chapter 13. But we're going to bring out something this morning and hope to be a blessing to you and challenge you this morning. The Bible says there in verse number 1, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." So we understand here he's a nameless prophet, but he's the man of God, and he's come up from the southern kingdom down in Judah. God has sent him from there, his home, up to the northern kingdom of Israel to prophesy to the kingdom of Israel, but also Jeroboam there, the king of Israel. So in verse number 2, "And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." We know Josiah this morning. Josiah was able to bring revival to the nation of Israel. And now 300 years before he was born, God was going to name him, that he was going to be the one. Verse number 4, "And it came to pass when Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel," notice this, "that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. The king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before." We now have three miracles that are done by the man of God here in front of Jeroboam that proves for a fact that he is truly a man of God. He has been a man sent by God, given a message from God. He's a man of God. There was a miracle there that he named Josiah, that he would be the king to come 300 years beforehand. There was a miracle of Jeroboam's hand withering and turning in when he pointed at the man of God. And then there's a miracle of the healing of that same hand that was destroyed. This is truly a man of God. The Bible says in verse number 7, "And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward." It's interesting how quickly he changes his mind. "And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half of thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, when they told also to their father. And their father said unto him, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord that thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he, what's that word? Lied unto him. So we went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. Let's bow for a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to gather with this group of young people, Lord, that desire, Lord, to serve you and desire, Lord, to have their life set apart, Lord, for service for you. And Lord, I pray that you'd give them strength. I pray that you'd give them understanding in the way. Lord, I pray that you'd give them a discernment of your will in their lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn from the scripture this morning. Lord, I pray that we would give attention to it and give heed to the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We find this story in the Bible here. Again, I think it's a familiar story, and we're going to look at the rest of it in just a moment. But the Bible again says there's a prophet there that has come out of the southern kingdom to prophesy against the northern kingdom, Israel. And you remember from your Hebrew history that the northern kingdom is going to fall before the southern kingdom. And they were going to be an example to the southern kingdom of what not to do, although the southern kingdom went ahead and did the exact same thing. So he comes against Jeroboam, the king, and prophesies against him. We read there how his hand was withered, and everything that the prophet said came to pass. The altar was rent, the ashes were poured out, everything exactly came to pass. The king finds out, well, this is the man of God. Why don't you stay with me? I'd like to maybe talk with you some more. Maybe, who knows, maybe he had the thought and the idea of maybe having him as some sort of a companion or a second man to perform miracles and maybe have some sort of a magician with him to make people believe him more and follow him better. We don't know what was all his thinking behind it, but he desired that. The Bible tells how he blatantly refused and says no, because why? God told me not to go in hither. I'm not going to do it. We're then introduced there, we read, to an old prophet. For the sake of not getting them confused, the young prophet and the old prophet this morning, I'm going to refer to him as the old man. Understand there, and we're going to see the differences in their lives. But he comes to the young prophet and says to him, hey, I've heard you're a prophet, I've heard you're a man of God, and you have to question the old man's wisdom. You have to question his spirituality still being in the northern kingdom of Israel when it was not a place that was worshiping God. And for all intents and purposes, he was not doing God's will as a so-called prophet. But he comes to the young prophet from Judah and says, why don't you come into my house? I've heard that you're a prophet. And again, he repeats the same thing and says, I've been told by the word of the Lord that I'm not to go in thither. I'm not to eat bread. I'm not to drink water with anybody. I'm to go straight and directly home. But we read there where the Bible says in verse number 18, he says, well, I'm a prophet too. And I know God has told you something, but God has also told me something. And he said, he wants you to come in with me. And the Bible says he lied. And sadly, the young prophet says, okay, I'll go in with you. We didn't read the rest of the story, but if you read on in verse number 20, they're sitting in verse number 21 and 22, they're sitting around the table eating at this old man's house. He's got his sons gathered around here. They're enjoying fellowship with the prophet of God. And all of a sudden, God gives a true message to the old man and says, the guy that is sitting next to you, he has disobeyed my words, prophesy to him. He's not going to make it home. And you read the rest of the story. He leaves there, obviously distraught, not knowing what to do. And a lion kills him on the way. And the lion is standing there. The donkey is standing next to the lion. And his dead body is right beside him. That's miraculous. That was divine that took place. That was not an accident. You don't find a lion killing its prey and just leaving it there and the donkey staying beside it and not running off. This was a message that God was sending his man because he had disobeyed and all those that had saw it. It's interesting after you read what happened there, the people of the city see the mayhem and what had happened. And they go back and tell that old man's sons, and the old man's sons go back and tell him, and he said, hey, that's that guy that disobeyed God. You're thinking as you read, you're thinking, wow, he says he disobeyed God, but he's the one who tricked him. He's the one who lied to him, and yet he's saying he disobeyed God. So as he brings him back, he feels that it's his responsibility to bury him. And he tells his sons, I want to be buried on top of his bones as a testament and as a testimony so that all that see what happened knows that he was a man of God and knows that what took place was of God. One word describes why this prophet that was used of God is now dead. He knew God's word. He knew God's will, but he was tricked. And it's a word that you and I must have today. And that one word is discernment. Discernment. This morning, if you go into the ministry, you're going to need discernment. Even if you're not called to full-time service, I realize there are going to be those in academy, there's going to be those in the Bible college that you're not called to full-time service, and that's fine if you're not. You need to find God's will for your life. But regardless of what your lot in life is, regardless of where God has called you to, as a godly Christian, you must have discernment. But on top of that, way high above that, if you're going to be in full-time Christian service, if you're going to be a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, a pastor's wife, you must get some godly discernment about you. Because one thing that we lack, I think, sometimes above all else, that comes with this spiritual maturity is discernment. Discernment this morning is that ability to know right from wrong. It's that ability to know what is going to be harmful and what is going to be helpful in my life. And it's not just on the surface, the ability of what is right and wrong. It's deeper than that. Because this morning you can take a well-trained child and they can tell you, well, telling a lie is bad and telling the truth is good. That's the difference between right and wrong. So discernment is more than just saying what is right and wrong. Discernment, listen this morning, discernment allows you to see where the lie will end up. And it allows you to see where telling the truth will end up. Discernment allows us to see the results of our decisions and how far they go and how long they'll last and who it is going to affect. And that is what so much we lack of today. I've known good teenagers, quote good teenagers, that get into a car full of other teenagers and wind up having their life wrecked and ruined, maybe physically, maybe spiritually, because they were going places they shouldn't be. Other people wound up drinking and doing other things. It was because a lack of discernment. Lack of discernment of not knowing the character of those people that they were with. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. But discernment was that one thing that could have prevented all of that. Even sometimes grown Christian adults, even with children of their own, sometimes they seem today so confused and so tossed about and so unstable. And as some people would say, without a compass as to what is going on and as to what is going to wind up causing pain in their life and as to what is going to wind up causing peace and happiness in the Lord's will. It's like they have no idea which way they're going and what is going to cause something else. College students must develop discernment that you'll need to survive in the ministry later on. I've seen college students lack discernment. I realize there's a growing process in our life. There's a maturing process in our life where God gives us wisdom. God gives us godly discernment. But if God has given you a little bit of discernment, God's not going to give you more discernment until you learn how to use the little bit of discernment. And so many times we say, well, I'll wait till I'll do this. I'll wait till I get there. No, right now is the time to begin practicing discernment in your life. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Boy, this morning, the word of God, and not just the word of God, knowing how to apply the word of God. That's our only hope if we're going to have the godly discernment that will keep us safe in this world. The Word of God this morning can discern things in our life that we didn't even know were there. It can discern motives when we can't. This Word of God can search out the very most inner recesses of our heart and pinpoint things that you said, man, I never knew that was there. And then you're faced with a choice. Psalm 19:8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Well, today we walk in a dark world. We walk in a world that needs the light of the Word of God, that needs the light of the testimony of godly people. But we are going to have to get to where we understand the Word of God and have it enlightening our eyes and understand the dangers that are out there in our lives. It's safe to say that in adherence to the principles and precepts of the Word of God, it will give us a discernment in our lives that can give us that compass that we so desperately need. We've got to get to the place, even as young people, where we stop reading this Bible to say, what do I want God to be? Because you might be here this morning, you might say, I have no idea what he's talking about. But you get out in the world, you get out ministering to people, you're going to realize people read this book to say, I want to fashion my God like this. And I'm going to read the Bible like this, and I'm going to make it look like that. It's time, though, this morning, and you've got to develop it now, that we begin reading the Word of God to see what God wants me to be. And to see what God wants me to develop into what He wants so that I can be conformed, Romans 8:29, to be conformed to the image of His Son, not conform Him and not fashion a God after I would like. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You think about it this morning, a lamp or a light is only as good as you use it. I want to encourage you this morning to test your path by the Word of God. Shine this book on your decisions. Let it be your discerner. Shine this book on the decisions of that mate you're praying about for your life. Shine this book on that decision of where God would have you go and what God would have you to do after you're at a Bible college or maybe you're still praying about God's will. Shine the Word of God on that. Let it illuminate your path and test it by the Word of God. Let's turn back in our text and focus on this morning. I want you to see, first of all, discernment can help you distinguish God's will. How many of you desire to be in God's will this morning? You say, I'm not ashamed of it. I want to be in God's will. I want to know God's will. Discernment will help you distinguish God's will. I remember when I came to Bible college, I had never one time stepped foot on the campus of Fairhaven Baptist College. But before then, I had believed through prayer and through counseling with my pastor, I believed that this was God's will for my life. And so knowing God's will for my life, I came here, said goodbye to my parents, and it was a difficult time. Again, never having leaving home, never have been here. I didn't know a soul here except for a few people that were from my church. But knowing it was the will of God, I was able to discern that and say, this is where God wants me, no matter how difficult it might be. I remember as I was trying to pray about that and even later on trying to find God's will with different things. Sometimes you almost wish there was some sort of after you pray, there was some sort of a room you would go to where the writing would be on the wall and say, well, there it is. That's easy. No, but discerning God's will is not like that. Discerning God's will is an understanding of the Word of God. It's through counsel and reading the Word of God and praying. But then guess what? It takes, finally, a step of faith. Where you say, I believe this is God's will, and so I'm going to follow God's will and do it and trust Him to lead and guide me along the way. Discernment helps you get that. Look in verse number 14 of chapter 13. Verse number 14 again, the Bible says, and went after the man of God. So this is the old man riding after him, coming to go get him. And went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak and said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. This prophet, again, has not been given a name. We saw, we read there, he was used by God to deliver a powerful message. I mean, imagine young preachers, you preach a message and everything that you say right then comes to pass. Those who would say something against you, their hand withers physically. They cry out to you and you're able to heal them back to the way they were. I mean, God was using him in a powerful, in a unique way. He's been told God's will for his life. He's told the king God's will for his life. He's told the nation of Israel God's will for their life. I think you could say that he's in God's will. God's using him. He's walking with the Lord. But with just one lie from this old man, he completely goes against God's will for his life. He was deceived so quickly and seemingly so easily. And where he was so sure, where he was so bold with the king, imagine this king had the power to take off his head. But he tells the king, I'm not going to go to your house. I'm not going to eat with you. I'm not going to drink water with you. I'm not going to do anything with you. You're not of God. You don't have anything to do with God. He's so bold. But yet with this old man, he completely lets down his guard. Now think with me this morning. It was easy to know that it wasn't right to eat with the king who was in sin. It was easy to know he shouldn't take any gifts from the king. it was easy to know that he shouldn't stay the night with King Jeroboam, who was known by all to be one of the most wicked kings of all of the nation of Israel and Judah. That was easy. Listen, this morning, it didn't take any discernment to get that. That's like saying, I shouldn't touch a hot stove. Well, duh. It didn't take any discernment. But listen this morning, if you don't get this, you're going to miss the message. What does take discernment is when two things appear good and two things appear like they could be God's will. The true prophet, he was willing to stick by what God had told him until the old man lied to him and said, well, God told me too. You say, well, how could he have known? And more importantly, this is some 4,000 years ago. More importantly than him, he's dead and gone. How can I know this morning? How can I? Because, Pastor Atwood, I'm looking at some things that both of them could be God's will, right? This is not a hot stove situation. This is not a sin situation. I'm looking at two things that could be God's will. How do I know? I don't want to be tricked. First of all, you've got to go back to what did God say? You think about it, the true prophet had been told directly by God what to do and where to go. But he's been fooled, not by God, but by someone speaking for God. We better be careful this morning when we know God's specific will for our lives, but we let ourselves be talked out of God's specific will for our lives by someone that is a well-meaning Christian. We all know there are certain areas of our lives that is God's will for our lives. We know we're supposed to be a soul winner. We know we're supposed to be faithful. We know those things. But I believe no one except you and God knows God's specific will for your life if God has revealed that to you. And when you find that specific will, you're going to be on the path of the general will of God. In other words, God's not going to show you His specific will for your life when you're in disobedience in other areas. And by the way, don't try to sell someone on God's will for your life. Don't try to sell God's will for someone on your for God's will on your life. Don't try to sell it to Brother Armacost or Brother Ramos or Dr. Mitchell and say, I know this is God's will for my life when you're blatantly living out of the general will of God. There's people like that all the time that say, boy, I believe this is God's will. I need to do it. I need to move or I need to do this. And they're blatantly living against the will of God. No, God is going to reveal that specific will to you when you're in the general will of God. And you can never fail when you rely on the Bible to guide you and give you discernment in God's will. I believe this morning if someone wants to know the will of God and they're needing discernment, I believe if you will get in this book, you will have the wisdom of God. What did the Apostle Paul say? To know Christ. We talk about having the mind of Christ. How are you going to get that this morning? You're not going to get it through osmosis. You're not going to get it through some. You're going to get it in this book because this book reveals the mind of Christ to us today. It's not going to come to the casual reader. It's not going to come to the one who's seeking it for selfish reasons. But God will give you and God will show you His will and God will give you discernment through the Word of God. I really do believe there is something special about this book. I don't believe there's something spooky that takes place. I don't believe it's some hocus pocus. But I believe when you get in this book, God will reveal His mind to you. Because you will be knowing the will of God. You will be knowing the mind of God through His Word. Something God has given me recently is a verse, Psalm 119, 130. The Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. The entrance of thy words, not in just your head, but in your heart. The Bible says it giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. The simple is the one who just is without understanding in some areas. And this morning you might be simple concerning God's will for your life. You say, I don't really know yet. Well, God says, get in His book and it will give you light. It will give you understanding. I want to know God's will for my life. I want to know where God would have me lead my church and my family, but I need discernment. And I sat where you sat this morning, and I know you need discernment. I know you want discernment. I know the easy things. You know the easy things. We don't always do it, but we know the sin to avoid. We know the pitfalls. We know the traps. But I need discernment to know the end result of decisions, that I can't see the big picture. That's what I need discernment for, and that's what you need discernment for. This prophet was lied to, and you say, well, we've got to give him a pass. He didn't know. How could you know? He was lied to. And yes, he was. But he could have had discernment. And that discernment would have helped him distinguish God's will from a lie. And it would have said, yes, I know he says this, but I know directly God's word said this. Discernment. Look at verse number 19. Quickly, we see number 2. Discernment also provides protection from disaster. I got to hurry. Discernment provides protection from disaster. Verse number 19, I won't even take time to read it. We reviewed it, that they're sitting at the table there, and all of a sudden the old man receives a real prophecy from God. God uses him. God can use anybody. And he says, you've disobeyed God. God told you what to do. You believe me. And now God's going to kill you. God's going to take your life. Can you imagine what a damper that puts on the evening dinner? It's pretty much over with. You've lost your appetite. All fellowship is over with. The man of God, he's dead in the water right now. He's sitting here thinking that he's in God's will, having no discernment that he shouldn't even be there. And all of a sudden, God gives a real message to this old man and says, you've disobeyed. You're not going to make it out alive. This is when you wish you had discernment. This is when you wish, when it's too late. But this is when you wish you would have been maybe a little bit more in tune with the results of what decisions you're making. And this is what I'm talking about this morning, that this prophet, he did not have. He did not have that gut feeling that this isn't right. He didn't have, and if he did, he didn't listen to it. He didn't have that sense to be concerned enough that says, I could have made a mistake because I didn't listen to the direct word of God. Now today, think with me, we do not have the spoken word of God like he did to go back to. But this morning, we do have something more sure, and that is the Holy Spirit of God, if you're saved, living and dwelling inside of you to direct you. We also have the Word of God, where the Bible says it's a more sure, amen, it's a more sure word. The man of God had to rely upon his recollection of what God did say. When you're making a decision this morning, when you're faced with things that God is dealing with your heart about, when you're faced with things discerning about the will of God, you have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of you right then, that can lead and guide you in the way that you ought to go right there. You don't have to recall. You don't have to recollect what God vocally told you sometime back. You can rely upon the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The ability to look ahead and see beyond and make a decision can protect us from dangers that are ahead. Today, there's a lack of discernment in a whole host of things I could go through about our dress, about our associations. Some of you that get into the ministry, you're going to be tested on your associations, and you're going to need discernment. You're going to be tested about what you read. You're going to be tested about who you listen to and about people that want to show you a new way. I'm not talking about efficiency. I'm talking about taking away the hymn book and following the bouncing ball. I'm talking about taking off the suit and the tie. I'm talking about rejecting door-to-door soul winning. I'm talking about rejecting repentance and faith. You're going to be tested with those things, and many, 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 many people fold. Because, number one, they don't know what they believe. And number two, they don't have discernment to realize where those associations are going to take them and lead them. Young people today, many times, you think just because someone's in Bible college or just because someone's in Fairhaven Baptist Academy, they love the Lord like you love the Lord. Not always so. There's times in our lives when we stray and we realize because we've been there that we didn't always follow the Lord like we should have. We didn't always love the Lord like we should have. There were times when we were rebelling in our lives and we think, well, just because they're where I am, they love the Lord like I do. No, that's where you need discernment. To realize, although they're in the same place as you are, does not mean they have the same heart as you do. You say, well, that's judging. It is. And you need to judge. And you're going to be judged by the same measure. We need that in our lives, discernment. The prophet of God had no idea the danger he was in until it was too late. Look quickly with me in verse number 26. Discernment, I want to give you this point last, very quickly. Discernment maintains our usefulness. Discernment maintains our usefulness. Again, I don't want to take time to read the passage. But the man of God, he was literally that. He was the man of God. He was God's man. For man, to speak to man, but he was also useful to man because he showed man how to get right with God. He was once like the prophet Jeremiah that said, "Stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old path, where is in the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." He was once useful as a man of God, but now he's useless to God and for man. Look at verse 33 quickly. This is Jeroboam's testimony after he has died, after he's been buried. He says, "After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people, priests and high places, whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places." The man of God is dead, and you find that he gives Jeroboam no reason to be afraid, no reason to do right, no reason to seek the Lord. You often hear commentators and maybe news anchors talking about athletes and someone being past the time of their youthfulness and their usefulness. And they say, "Well, that guy can no longer run as fast as he used to." And they'll say, "This guy, he just doesn't have the ability to bounce back from injury like he used to." Or, "This guy can't throw as far as he used to." How long do you want to be used of God? How long? This morning, can't God use someone for a lifetime after they're saved? Can't he do that? But why does it always seem like it's 5 years, it's 10 years, it's 20 years, and that's it? God has set many Christians on the shelf because of a lack of discernment. Some Christians are set in jail because of a lack of discernment. Some are dead because of a lack of discernment. Because they were of no more use to God or to man for God. The best this prophet could be was a memory of what he used to be. Who wants their testimony this morning to be that, well, God did use them, but they ended useless? Who wants their testimony to be that, and he blew it? She blew it. I mean, they had all the opportunity, but they blew it. Who wants to pastor a church one day where they say, the people sit around and say, "Well, God did use us back then." And they sit and talk about the good old days. This morning, we don't retire in our service to God, but sometimes we're put out of service because of lack of discernment. We make choices, we make decisions along the way, again, that didn't seem to have much weight when we made them, but we didn't have the foresight to see where they would end up and the consequences. And that's exactly why we continually pick the wrong decision and make the wrong choice over and over, because we don't realize how big it is. This morning, we need godly discernment, that ability to see where decisions will end up. And it could be, listen this morning, it could be the difference between being in God's will and out of God's will. It could be the difference this morning in your life between disaster and peace, between usefulness and fruitlessness. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for this student body here, Lord, that for the majority, Lord, desires, I believe, to serve you. Lord, they desire to be in your will. And Lord, they desire most of all, Lord, before they're in your will, they desire to discern your will. They want to know your will for their life. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to realize this morning that specific will of God is going to come through discernment, but it's going to come through being in the general will of God and being obedient to their authorities, being obedient to the place and the position that you've got them, Lord, in growing where they're planted right now. And along that path, you're going to show them and you're going to reveal to them and open doors to the specific will of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have that godly discernment that we need. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to have that discernment that I need in my church and my family, Lord, in the things that you've given me to be a steward over. Lord, I pray that you'd help these students this morning to have discernment, Lord, with their friendships. Lord, with those who are thinking about marriage and getting close, Lord, I pray that they might have that discernment. Lord, those who are seeking your will concerning a ministry, Lord, that they would have that discernment. Lord, more than anything, I pray that we would desire to bring you the honor and glory that you would have, and that would be yours. And through that discernment, Lord, we would make decisions, Lord, that would bring people to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you stand with me to your feet as the piano and organist play? God has spoken to your heart this morning. You come. Whatever the need of the hour is, God is dealing with your heart this morning. Again, many, many, many of you, you're facing decisions. Don't wait until you're a senior in college. to finally say, God, I need to get serious about this. God, I need some discernment. God, I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. No, the time to get that is now. The time to call upon God, the time to ask that is now. God, I need some discernment. Both of these things, they seem right. I don't see any harm in either one of these right now. God, I need some discernment that you'd give me. You come as God is speaking your heart this morning. Brother Amos.